Inside Iraq, there are no cell phones, no instant messaging, and definitely no private Hotmail accounts. But the internet has finally arrived. After long resisting, Saddam Hussein's regime has now cautiously embraced the internet. And as NPR's Anne Gerrels reports from Baghdad, for Iraqi young people, it's the new rage.
Most in Iraq still get their information the old-fashioned way. In the absence of foreign newspapers and magazines, they search for uncensored news on scratchy broadcasts from the BBC, Radio Monte Carlo, or the Voice of America. This is Radio Sawa, a new Arabic service of the U.S. government. The Iraqi government regularly jams it, forcing the broadcasters to constantly jump frequencies and Iraqis to scan the AM dial for the latest position. Yet there's now a whole new source of information available to Iraqis, the internet. A small, quiet room belonging to the Iraqi Ministry of Transportation and Communications passes for an internet cafe. There are 19 such places now in Baghdad. This mundane, unremarkable scene is a quiet revolution. Portraits of President Saddam Hussein act as screensavers, but with a click of a button, he disappears, and 23-year-old Obaid enters another world.
I mean, I can get any news. I mean, I get CNN.com, everything.
The regime first permitted internet access for government ministries a few years ago, but back then, even high-ranking officials weren't allowed to send emails from their desks. They had to take them to a central clearing office. The first email centers for the public opened in early 2000. This year, somewhat amazingly, they added internet service. And now Iraqi universities are beginning to hook up. Access is so popular, students are restricted to 2 hours a week. Recently, the government took another major step, permitting some citizens to have internet connections at home. At a little over $30 a month, this is much too costly for most. But where there are internet cafes, Iraqis can send emails and surf the subversive web for just 50 cents an hour, a fee most seem happy to pay. Now, there are some limits. The connections are slow because of poor phone lines, and when Iraqis try to access private email boxes such as Yahoo or Hotmail, they're greeted with the blunt message, "Access denied." Everything has to go through Ouraklink.net, the government-controlled service provider monitored by Saddam's agents. Sometimes it takes quite a while for emails to come through, reinforcing suspicions the government's reading the messages first. Iraqis are cautious what they say in their messages, developing elaborate codes. But some have found ways to circumvent the government's restrictions by sending emails through other sites. Mohammed, a university student, can get to just about any news site on this particular night. But if there's aggressive news about Iraq, he says you might find some of the sites suddenly blocked. And porn sites are always inaccessible. Despite those limits, the debut of the internet is a major breakthrough for Iraqi students, researchers, and others. It's helping to erode the isolation from the outside world they've felt since the 1991 Persian Gulf War, the imposition of UN sanctions, now 12 years old, and the censorship of the government. Two students from Saddam University are looking for information on lasers. The importation of lasers is banned under UN sanctions because they have military applications. A lot of information is available for free on the net, but often you have to pay to get an entire article. 21-year-old Saeed is frustrated because of the sanctions. He doesn't have a credit card.
Money is the problem.
Online shopping is impossible, but Hassan is using the internet for the first time to find out information about Mercedes trailers. He owns a transportation company which is clearly doing well enough for him to buy a truck in Jordan. 20-year-old Tahir writes his brother, who lives abroad.
I think that the internet is a very good way of communication, so therefore I prefer the internet than the telephone.
There's also a thriving black market in pirated software, and the Iraqi hacker community, while far behind its Western counterparts, is quickly catching up. Anne Gerrels, NPR News, Baghdad.